This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:39 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Shamila on Pulpit Pulpit Parliament. Earlier, we were talking about a few different things, whether it is electric vehicles and being able to afford them, hopefully, as we move forward with amendments and changes within Budget 2022, whether it's the National Recovery Plan and whether it still holds meaning now that we're moving to its endemicity. And we also touched on disciplinary actions for civil servants who are vaccinated. Hesitant, and we've been asking you for your thoughts on all fronts. You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018 789 8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We have some messages which we will return to because we also wanted to hear what you have to say about our next segment. It's time for Today on Twitter, and it turns out that today, tweeters have money and QR codes on the mind. The hashtag that is trending is Do It Now, and here's why.
So it seems to have started with a Twitter user, at Syed Akramin, who posted an image of six different e-wallet QR codes on the counter of a local cafe. And in the caption, he basically tweeted, "Can't we have only one system that works for all cashless transactions?" Another Twitter user, however, replied by pointing out that the cafe vendor probably hadn't realized that there actually is a solution to this. You can essentially use one Do It Now QR code for multiple platforms. And actually, if you zoom in into that picture, you can see that almost all of those e-wallets that are displayed, those different cardboard standees, actually also use a Do It Now QR code.
So this resulted in quite a bit of back and forth, right? Because there were some people saying, yeah, what you are suggesting is called a monopoly. And we have had it for a very long time with, for example, Touch and Go. Others, meanwhile, pointed out that perhaps the reason why payment is provided through different providers, even though it's with one QR code, is because some people want to avoid extra fees that some e-wallets may incur. Others don't want to lose out on reward points. You might just have a favorite that you like to use because of the interface. There are all sorts of reasons, I think, at this point, why people go to the e-wallets they do. And I think all of this comes down to a larger conversation, I think, about e-wallets and our usage of them. Because over the last couple of years, more and more of us use e-wallets. I've talked about this on air before. I used to resist it for the longest time. In fact, my sister hearing this piece is probably going to be moved into a deep rage because she was always trying to get me to move towards e-wallets. And I was like, it's too hard. I prefer just using my card or just using cash. And now 2 years into the pandemic, I think I haven't had more than 50 ringgit in my wallet for a very long time because I tend to just use e-wallets everywhere.
Oh, I didn't realize this incremental shifting to my side of things had happened. I feel very sort of evil at the moment. But no, I've gone on record as being one of those who I think over the course of the 2 years very quickly moved away from having cash for multiple reasons. One was just having to go to the ATM over and over again became a bit of a pain during the lockdown. The other being the handling of cash itself used to give me a lot of anxiety. So I've been using e-wallets quite a lot over the course of the last 2 years. And even in 2 years, I've seen how much it's shifted and become easier. Because at the start, most shops would have at most one option. And then now most of them have this sort of universal code. So I definitely recognize the problems or the gaps in moving towards a completely cashless economy, and all of the people who get left behind. And I think that is something that does need to be addressed. That said, I think the ease of it and the accessibility of it, it does mean that it almost feels like it's an unstoppable force.
So that's the thing. I feel that there are two elements to this. One, what we just talked about, which is the amount of people who have shifted towards using e-wallets, and therefore the amount of users you now have pointing out potential gaps, pointing out potential issues. And some of those gaps or issues is this idea of ease and universality. Because for the longest time, actually, even shifting to credit cards was tough for people for a time. But after that, it grew to be that, generally speaking, you can walk into a place and you know what you have to do. A one machine is going to accept your one card or your whatever card. And that is just going to work each and every time. Whereas for e-wallets, especially early on and before this, I didn't know we were calling it our national QR code, the Do It Now, but that's apparently what it is. Before the Do It Now QR became so ubiquitous, it was a lot tougher, right? Like, you have to actually kind of peer at the counter and go, okay, I think they're accepting this. All right. Like, and then do the mental calculation, upload your money into whatever wallet you're going to use. And all of that meant that I think for people who just want to walk in and out, tapao something, get a bite to eat, you're having to do a lot more mental arithmetic and gymnastics to figure out how you're going to pay compared to, you know what, I'm just going to leave and walk to an ATM. And now, even though, as has been pointed out, all the QR codes are technically more or less one QR code that you can use across platforms, I don't know whether that many people recognize it. I think if we go back to the original tweet and this confusion of why isn't there just one system, I'm sure that people have felt this way because the Do It Now symbol is quite small and not everybody is going to be aware that, oh, that means I can scan it on anything.
Oh, I absolutely have to confess that I actually only realized this week because I generally stick to one or two e-wallets. And so I've never had to really wonder, oh, which ones do you offer? Can I use a different one? And I didn't realize what that thing that's been popping up everywhere, the QR code, that it was a universal one until very recently. And so I guess it's a good thing. But I only realized from these tweets today that my reward points won't apply across platforms. So which means that I may not necessarily use it because I actually end up accruing quite a bit with those rewards points.
And this comes down to the idea of communication because so if you have different platforms wanting you to stick to that platform, right, for a variety of reasons, they're not necessarily going to be communicating, hey, actually, it's universal. Don't worry about it. Which also means that you might have users such as yourself, right, who've been using e-wallets for some time, still experiencing moments of learning, still experiencing moments of, oh, I didn't realize. And I think that if you work it backwards, can result in people who already feel reticent about making the e-wallet leap, finding that difficult. I did want to know, though, what's your take on this whole idea of one system, of having a single system rather than the multiple platforms that we currently have?
One ring to rule them all. Has that ever been a good thing? You know, I can see the merits of it, but I do feel like it does... We've seen this happening with ride hailing, where the lack of choice actually leaves the customer with a lot less options in terms of making complaints, asking for better service, asking for improvements. And so I don't know whether I think taking away the choice or taking away, you know, the ability to leave a service behind is a good thing. However, I think the ease of it being integrated under one system is so important. I'm just thinking of countries like India or China, where this has already become so integrated and so universal to the point where even people who don't have smartphones can access these services with their phone number, for instance. And there's so much value to that. I do wish, though, that there was more... I think what I'd like to see is perhaps government oversight or a sort of concerted effort to do this in a way that actually benefits the customer rather than the individual platforms.
Yeah, the thing about monopoly is that even if it starts off being great, eventually the drive to provide better service disappears. So that tends to be an issue as well. But let us know. To recap, on today on Twitter, the trending hashtag is Do It Now. And the reason for that is because one tweet of the counter of a local cafe the counter of a local cafe displaying six different e-wallet QR codes has spread quite far and wide. And the caption was, can't we have only one system that works for all cashless transactions? And that's actually a question that we'd like to hear you weigh in on. Do you find it easy to use e-wallets or would you prefer everything to be completely standardized, only one system? Call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We'll be right back. Keep it here, BFM 89.9.
Brainy, fancy material. BFM 89.9.
It is 5:51 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila. For today on Twitter, we were talking about the trending hashtag Do It Now, which resulted from one tweet that basically said, hey, look at all these different QR codes. Why can't we just have one QR code to rule them all? People said, well, that's kind of Do It Now. And that opened up a conversation really about the ease of use of e-wallets and whether it is that we really want just one system, whether that would in fact be easier. You can let us know what you think. Do you find it easy to use e-wallets? Would you prefer everything to be completely standardized? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. And we have some messages.
So we have, we have Alex saying, I love the e-wallet, especially during the pandemic, but I'm slowly weaning away from touch and go, too many ads. Can we discuss an e-wallet without ads? And that's an interesting one. You know, I have to say, I haven't given a lot of thought to ads on any of the e-wallets I might use. Maybe because they've not been that disruptive to me.
So I use touch and go. I hadn't noticed the ads. And I actually don't think that this is because they aren't there. I think it actually comes down to, sadly, my acceptance of living in an online dystopia.
I was thinking that maybe I've just become so immune to seeing ads on practically everything, every platform.
I tend to accept it on free platforms, really. So across the board, right? For example, if we look at Instagram, they started doing double ads. It used to be that you'd only see one, and now you sometimes go through two, even three ads in a row. And yes, do I feel a twinge of irritation? Sure. But at the same time, I'm like, you know what? It's free. This is what it is. It's the attention economy. And then I just give up and melt away.
Yeah. And let's see, we have Jimny who says, I still prefer competition. Monopolies restrict new innovation. And in the end, the customers lose out.
Yes, that I think is definitely what we were getting at. I get the argument in favor of a monopoly, of course, is just the sheer accessibility of it, the ease of it, the fact that for everybody, one and all, you know, the one platform or the one thing you need to download, and then across the board, it's going to work. I think what the worry is here is exactly as you say, Jimny, new innovation and ease of use. Because if I don't have an alternative, or if your customer doesn't have an alternative, what real motivation do you have to fix anything that's broken?
So PS2 has a similar opinion. They say, I love e-wallets. A single e-wallet sounds simple, but it's not healthy without competition. In my opinion, limiting to three e-wallets is good enough for choice. That's an interesting number of three. I'm sure there are others who would say that's not enough. But I agree. I don't think one is the best idea.
So limiting to three e-wallets, right, is also tough in terms of marketplace, simply because if you look at the e-wallets that we have, some are homegrown, some less so, and you have people wanting to use it for different reasons. I think it comes down to the rewards. So you mentioned rewards earlier. I actually don't keep track of those at all. I tend to use my e-wallets based on the interface. If I find the interface easy to use and I feel that it's a secure platform, then that's what I go with. Clearly, I'm not the best e-wallet or credit card spender. I'm not somebody who keeps track of the points.
I think it also has to do with, as you said, people might want to use it for different things. But the other aspect of it is simply that even for merchants, not everyone has the same ease of use with every wallet. They have different commissions they have to pay. They have different ways in which they have to interact with these platforms. And so I think if at all we're talking about a sort of unification, I would like to see one that allows users to move between these platforms without penalizing the user. I guess all I'm saying is I want to keep my reward points across platforms.
Yeah, because if not, that moving across platforms is, again, just to reiterate what we're already having with the Do It Now QR. So Hin Hashim says, I'm an active Touch & Go e-wallet user. I only use it. Currently, merchants only need to have one QR code for payment. I've made many payments via Touch & Go by scanning the Maybank QR code. I'm not aware of the Do It Now logo, but sometimes because of the merchant cashier's ignorance, they don't allow cross-platform payments.
Oh, yes. I mean, I think this comes down to, again, something we mentioned earlier, education, and not just education for the customer, but basically education for the merchants. And you're right that when there isn't a lot of motivation for the platforms to actively go out and tell people, look, actually, you can do cross-platform stuff. I don't know whether it's entirely the merchant's fault.
When we're talking about education and awareness and normalization, we tend to talk about it from the user point of view. And when we hear user, the assumption is that we're talking about the people making the payment. But actually, the people receiving the payment equally have a learning curve to overcome. And we're seeing this across the board, I think, not just in person, but also with deliveries, et cetera, et cetera. It just goes all the way. Shubi has an interesting suggestion saying just have the banks print QR codes on their debit cards, add the feature on top of the PIN code and pay. Done.
Oh, I can't quite envision how that's going to work. I suppose then it would involve all merchants being able to scan our debit cards. I suppose that would work, but then it would take away the e-wallet function. That's sort of the intermediary in between, right? The idea of storing money in an e-wallet.
I'm actually worried about a loss of the card,
yeah.
Yeah, because at the moment, the ability to PayWave is already scary enough. You add the QR code and that's just another element where, again, you wouldn't have to necessarily put in your PIN unless you are saying that you need that. But not everybody asks for it. So it goes back and forth on this. But keep those thoughts coming. We would like to hear from you on whether you want one QR code or rather one e-wallet to rule them all. And also, do you find it easy to use e-wallets? We're talking about this because on today on Twitter, Do It Now has been trending, and it stemmed from a photo in which a tweeter took a photo of a counter and said, why are there so many QR codes? Why can't we just unify? And everybody pointed out, well, it's a monopoly and also we're almost there. So we've been asking you for your thoughts on this. You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, after the 6 o'clock news today on Inside Story, we have a whole show that is based almost entirely on one statement, which came from Zuraida Kamarudin, who is the Minister of Plantation and Commodities, who essentially called on parties to field more women candidates in winnable seats. And we're basically looking at that statement in more detail.
Yeah, so we're going to dissect that statement itself and whether that is the way to go to ensure equal participation in politics. And then we're also going to be speaking to a female adult about what it's like being a woman in politics. Finally, we'll also hear from the 111 initiative.
So we want to know, do you agree with Zuraida Kamarudin? Again, that statement is that parties should field more female candidates in winnable seats to up the representation in state assemblies. You can let us know what you think. Call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.